Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody this morning. Good to see everybody, and hopefully y'all here for a blessing. I know I'm here for a blessing, and let's go ahead and stand to page 23. Turn to page 23. There's power in the blood. Amen.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you redeem all the victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder working power in the blood of Lamb. There is power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin's things are lost in the life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's good to be back in your house again this morning, Lord, and just thank you for the weather you've given us, Lord, and just a little bit of rain here and there, and just keep us all safe through this heat, and just Lord, be with the ones that couldn't make it today for sickness or any other reason, and hopefully they're on the watching us on YouTube, Lord, and any other ones watching on YouTube, and just be with them, and Lord, and just anybody that's not right with you or not saved, Lord, and that they, with Brother Jeff's preaching and with your word, Lord, and just hopefully they won't leave these doors, or they won't turn off the YouTube or whatever without getting right with you, Lord, and just be with Brother Jeff and touch his heart with your message, Lord, and just hope it don't fall on deaf ears, Lord, and just in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, y'all may be seated. All right, page 65. Page 65, just over in Glory Land.
Amen.
I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the Glory Land. My Savior's side, just over in the Glory Land, just over in the Glory breathing. I'm on my way to this mansion fair, just over in the glory land. There to sing God's praise and His glory share, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land, with joyful thought that my Lord I'll see. Just over in the glory land, and the kindred say there forever be. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, I'll join happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land, with the good voice strong, I will shout and sing. Just over in the glory land, glad to send us to Christ the Lord and King. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land. Amen.
Amen and amen. Sure is good to see everyone today. I do ask you to continue to pray for safety for the church and all those in it. Amen. There's some out today. Just for sickness and safety and making sure. And so do keep everyone in prayer. As well, I appreciate everyone coming in. And remember, going to your pews is so important. You say, preacher, why is it so important? Because after you leave, we get to disinfect everything and clean everything. CDC requires us to clean and disinfect because you're grimy, and then we've got to clean all the germs, all right? And so I appreciate it. Go to a pew, get set down. And I know it gets kind of loud in here. Those on YouTube don't get to hear it, but it gets kind of loud in here because we're talking, but that's okay. We've spent many hours back in that social hall and talking from table to table, and it gets loud as all get out. You might be sitting right next to someone and can't hear them, and we make it, all right? Food coming out your mouth and everything. This the only difference is we don't have food coming out our mouth, amen? And so we'll still have that, and we have that time. Do pray. There's several that we need to pray for. Brother Glenn Bond, do keep him and the family in prayer. Have not got an update today. In fact, I don't think they put one yesterday. I guess it was Friday was the last update, but Brother Bond's not doing well, so I do ask you to keep him in prayer. Also with that, there's several others. Sister Sarah said Dean Herring has contracted the COVID as well, and so do pray for him and his family. Max Alderman's doing better. Brother Alderman's doing better. Brother Gilbert still needs prayer. And his family, Sammy Allen still needs prayer. There's several. You know someone. Listen, the part that's so scary is you don't know how you're going to get it and how you're going to go through it. Say, preacher, I'm healthy, I'm fine, everything's going to be great. The Lord determines that. And so just be wise with it. I don't want it in the first place. Listen, if I can avoid getting a sinus cold, I don't want it either. Amen. And so you say, preacher, what's different? Well, I believe we need to be wise with it. Don't jump to conclusions, but in the same sense, be very wise with it. And you don't know how it's going to come out in the end. And so I'm thankful for the Lord. I do put all my faith and my trust in Him. But I do believe He gave me some gray matter in between my ears that I'm going to use. Amen. And it'll be to His glory. So I encourage you to do that. Don't forget, we're not taking up an offering. If you want to put something in the plate. There's a five-gallon jug in the back. You can drop it in there on the way out, and I do appreciate as well. Once we're gone, we're gone. And you say, "Preacher, what's that?" Well, I spent 10 years doing occupational safety and health, did a lot of confined space training, did a lot of respiratory training and respirator training, and there's two factors. The factor number one is how much contaminants do you have? Factor number two is how long are you in those contaminants? And, you say, "Preacher, are you going to cut the sermon short?" Absolutely not. Amen. So that's why when we're done, we're going to go. Amen. And you can hold your breath in between there and be all right, too. Amen. That'll help you. So just be wise with that, and I appreciate everyone's faithfulness to that and participation. Say, "Preacher, you're wearing a mask out and about." You know one thing that I've learned? Now, I don't when I'm with my family. I don't when I'm at the farm. I don't when I'm pumping gas. But if I'm going to go anywhere that I'm going to be around someone, I'm going to wear one. And this is why the governor asked me to. You say, "Preacher, why is that important?" Well, because he's in that position. Listen to me. God put those in charge of us in place. And you know what our job is as a child of God? When they ask us to do that, it doesn't matter if they asked us to stand on our right foot and jump up and down. And we would find an excuse why we couldn't. We'd rather use our left foot. But he's in. You know the problem that we have today, we'll hear about this later, is authority issues. Authority issues. Do I think it's going to work? Absolutely not. I believe it's more of a placebo than it is anything else. I really do. I think that it's a feel-good, but he asked us to. And so it doesn't matter. When you come to the church, you say, "That preacher's lost his mind." It doesn't matter. Guess who's in charge? I'm responsible. I'll give the account. And when you're standing here in this position and you give the account to the Lord, then that's your deal. But right now, God's put me here. He said, you're going to give an account, so I'm just going to be faithful to him. And I don't care if you like it, don't like it. It really matters none to me. I prayed about it. God gave me peace about it. I'll drive on. I've preached to an empty church before. My wife got tired of it. She's like, "You're preaching to me." And it's like, "No, it's really at you." Amen. Amen. So I do thank everyone. And if you ever ask or wonder why God's put us in these positions, that we're supposed to just, okay, that's what we need to do. We'll do what we're supposed to do and move on. Amen. Amen. All right, Brother Russell, got another song for us.
All right, let's stand and turn to page 63. What a day that will be. That's right.
There is coming a day when the heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore. On a happy golden shore, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand. Leads me through the promised land. What a day, oh glorious day, that will be. There be no sorrow there, no more burden to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever. For me, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be where my Jesus I shall see, and I look. from all the things, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and walks me through the promised land, what a day, a glorious day that will be.
Amen.
Amen. What a blessing. You may be seated. I'm thankful for that day. There'll be no protesting in heaven. Amen. There'll be no complaining in heaven. Boy, I love it when we think about no pining. Amen. No complaining. Boy, we are hot. We're cold. We're uncomfortable. We're too comfortable. I'm tired. Can't sleep, whatever. All of that's gone. Amen. I'm thankful. This is as bad as we'll ever have it, folks. Amen. And by the way, it's not bad. It's not bad. It didn't matter if it was world history. It didn't matter if it was American history. It didn't matter if it was just sixth grade history. I was like, this is awful. And we had learned about the Aztecs and the others, and I'm going, I have no idea who these are and when they went, and then they're talking about years that I have no idea even existed. And so I was like, yeah, all right, flush all that. And filled it with other useless information. Amen. But if you'd do some history and actually look up some things, you'd find that we really don't have it bad. We really, really don't. Take your Bibles, if you would. Turn over the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter number 33. I only want us to look at one verse today. You say, preacher, you're going to preach out of one verse. Well, it's topical. I'm going to definitely preach the idea of it. And I think that we can all get along on this. And it really doesn't matter. If you don't get on the same sheet, you're going to hear it anyway. Amen. And we've got an issue. And this whole month I've preached on America. And I don't apologize for it. God's given me great peace about it. In fact, Tuesday morning. Would have almost been Monday night. 2 o'clock in the morning I woke up and God had just really burdened my heart for all of those co-workers that I used to have. And losing 14 positions out there at the job that I spent 17 years in and 21 counting the time that I spent in service in that hangar. And my heart was broke for those men that are going to lose their jobs. Don't know who they are. There's many reasons why they haven't told them yet. But God woke me up and I couldn't go back to sleep. And so I got up. And sometimes when God wakes you up, it's time to just get up and see what He has. And I spent time in prayer and then I opened the Word of God. And I had already been praying about this verse. And God laid out Sunday morning and Sunday night's points all to me at about 3 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday morning. And I've been able to chew on it all week. And some of you are going to say, oh my, we're in for it now. We'll be all right. But I truly believe that there's a cry that needs to be heard in America today. And it needs to come from the church. It's not going to be from some famous evangelist on TV. It's not going to be from some comedian or someone from Hollywood that's going to stand up. It's not going to be from someone from Washington. It's going to be from the church. And that cry needs to go out today because our nation as we know it. May I tell you, there's no amount of stimulus checks that's going to get us on the right page. There's no amount of elections that's going to help us. But instead, if the church will cry out, and we'll hear the truth of God's Word and we'll start living it in our life, then God would bless our nation. Take your Bibles, if you would. Psalm 33. We're going to look at verse number 12. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 33, verse number 12, the Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Now, that's a pretty simple thought. You would say, "Preacher, that's pretty straightforward. We are one nation under God." But are we? I'm afraid, and I mentioned this Wednesday night, I'm afraid that we've become a nation that has, we're one nation under many gods. On Wednesday night, I had brought up the fact that I had seen this little blurb that says that, "May the God of your choosing bless you." That's really where America is. That's really the problem that we have in America right now, is we are a nation that no longer has God as the Lord, as our Lord. And so it goes on and it says, "And the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." Boy, I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed today. I want God to bless our nation again. I want God to open us up again to where He would pour out His blessings from heaven upon us. And I know that there's many preaching today that say, "Well, you know, there can be this national-wide crusade, and boy, we're going to see America revived." I don't see it in Scripture like that. But I do see God using the church to continue to shine the light. And may I tell you, the reason that we're still here today is there's still a light that needs to be shown in our country. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here as a church or as a nation. And God still wants to do a work in our country, but He's going to do it through us. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You, Lord, for not giving up on us. Lord, we're Your church, and Father, we are a weak and a feeble people. Lord, we're a needy people. And Lord, we need You today. I pray, Father, that You would strengthen us. Lord, I know I'm not preaching Acts 5, but boy, how that just rings in my heart right now. And I think about the boldness that we need to have. I think about the cry that needs to go out. And I think about the Apostle Paul as he had pled for his own brethren to get saved. Lord, his own countrymen. Boy, if we would come to that place, that we'd cry out today for our own country. Lord, we send missionaries all across this world, and yet our own country is falling to the wayside. Oh, Father, help us today that we would truly see Your desire is to bless that nation that chooses You to be their Lord. Lord, help us today that we really would be one nation under God. Oh, Father, I pray Your will be done. Lord, touch me. Lord, help me. Father, I need a fresh anointing from on high. I need my thoughts to be directed. I need my mouth to be Your mouthpiece, Lord. Father, protect me that I would not stumble or would not say anything that doesn't need to be said. And Lord, I pray that for that heart that's here today that's maybe, Lord, cold and indifferent. Lord, maybe it's even the fact that they're lost. They need to be saved. Lord, would You help us today to just seek Your face? I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. There's no argument. As much as all of us hate change, we could take a survey, and I know there's not a whole lot in here today. Maybe we could even include the YouTube audience today, and we would say, well, if we were to take a survey, how many like change? And I'm one of those, boy, if I can keep it the same. I remember the lunches that Sister Sarah would get up, and she'd pack my lunch and she'd pack my breakfast, and they were the same. I would take oatmeal. I would take, I had some fruit that would go in it, and she'd get all that around, and my lunch normally consisted of a salad. And boy, you say, "Preacher," so she'd get your salad dressing, which I use salsa. She'd put that in a little container. And not only did we have it, the same thing in it, it was the same type of containers. It was the same bucket. And over and over and over, and I drank water and I drank coffee. In fact, Jacob last night was giving me grief when I was getting a haircut. He's like, "Dad, why don't you let it grow out? For one, I can't stand long hair. I can't." And I've wore my hair this way. I think November will be 20 years that I've wore my hair this way. Amen. And boy, you say, "Preacher, don't you like some change?" Well, Brother Russell's got some change. Amen. And by the way, Brother Russell's going to be 13 this next month. I mean, he doesn't look it.
It's been 13 rough years. Amen. No, he got born again 13 years ago. Amen. And I was just thinking about that as he was leading the songs. I said, boy, August is right around the corner, and he'll be 13 years old. You see, I don't like change, and I know that you don't like change. Brother Russell's been wearing the same haircut now since he turned 30. Hey, right, brother? I mean, that's what it's been. Now, he changed. He decided he was going to grow a beard. He wanted something to comb. Amen. And I'm just picking at him, but there's not a single one of us in this room that is going to sign up for change. We get in that groove, and we don't want to change. But may I tell you, there's already changes that normally take place. We look at some of these changes that are just normal changes, political changes. May I tell you that in 2020, the majorities can shift. And those political changes that we really, they're just normal changes. They happen. How many times has the political parties changed majority in the House and the Senate over the last years? Who knows? Why? Because it's normal. And it's almost it to be expected. We think as well, how about fashion? Now, I remember a day when showing your buttocks was a disgrace. It was a shame. You say, preacher, I can't believe you use that word. That's a Bible word. Look it up. Because the Bible tells us that when they were taken into captivity, there was a shame because their buttocks was showing. And may I tell you that God said it was a shame back then? It's still a shame today. But fashions have changed. Amen? We've all heard about the fact that you can find clothes half off. That means that they just use half the material to make them. Amen. It's not that they're on sale, they just use less of it. And so that's the fashion changes. How many remember when you looked at your mom and dad's photos when they were younger and you'd laugh? And now those are the fashions today. I mean, honestly, it just comes up and down. And so we look at those changes. I thought bell bottoms looked silly then. I think bell bottoms look silly now. Amen. But it's funny how it just changes. How about the morale? May I tell you, it's normal for us to be up and down. And there's people that have been watching the stimulus check and the stimulus packs and trying to see what all's going to take place. And they're driven off of that money. And may I tell you, as soon as they get it, it doesn't matter if it's going to be $12,000. As soon as they get that, it'll be spent, and then they're going to be right back down the tubes. Amen. And so we consider all of these normal changes, but what about some destructive changes that's taken place in America? We think about the attitude toward authority. We're getting ready to start school again. You know what they're going to have? A lack of authority. Well, I mean, honestly, parents have told their children that there's no one that can tell you what to do. And then they go to school and the teachers try to get them to do something so that they can learn, and, well, you can't tell me that. You can't make me do that. And then when I was growing up, I got a SWAT in first grade for looking out the window. Go ahead and do that today. Now, I'm not saying you don't want to. And maybe it, far worse. Far worse. I've heard of teachers that get hit. I mean, students come up and pound them. And they can't do anything about it. And then you know what that goes into? We have a problem with authority as the lawgivers. Hold on. You mean you're going to give me a ticket because I was speeding? You mean you want to see my driver's license? You mean I've got to show you registration? You mean I've got to tag my car? You mean I'm supposed to have insurance? Hello? You mean the governor said that you can't add to it or take away from it, and therefore, hold on. Our problem is today is we think we're in charge. This is a destructive authority or a destructive change. When you start having no accountability to authority or no even reverence for authority, we're in trouble. And so I find as well there's an absence of accountability. Not only is it our attitude toward authority, but I find the absence of accountability. You know how many times we get to the place where it's not my fault? I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I'm sick and tired of hearing people tell me that it's not their fault. There's a reason why, and then they're not accountable for it. It blows my mind. at how many people can break the law and it doesn't apply to them. It's just, I don't understand it. Then why do we have it? And then, it won't happen again. And it won't happen again. And it won't happen again. And you know what we've taught our children through the years? There's no accountability. Jeremiah is definitely at that age and that stage that he's starting to show how much he knows. And mom and dad tell him that it's time to do something. And the other day we were out, and listen, I don't abuse my son for anything. Jacob I might, but not Jeremiah. I had told Jeremiah, we had came off the tractor and I had forgot to put the can over the exhaust, and we were coming back and he wanted to do it. And listen, it was hot, I was tired, and he can't reach it. It's up here, amen? And even when I stand him on the platform, he can't reach it. And I told him, I said, look, I'll let you do it the next time. And he started throwing a fit, and I said, enough, done. And he wouldn't stop. I said, all right, there's an accountability that goes with it. You say, preacher, that's just crazy. No, hold on. You see, it starts with that. It starts with that. And the problem is we haven't shown any accountability and holding someone accountable for their actions. We find as well this destructive change, not just an attitude toward authority and an absence of accountability, but we find a hatred toward humanity. May I tell you how shallow we are? Maybe you're in a different position than I am. But when I was born, I had no choice about what color I came out. Maybe you did, but I didn't. And now we've came to the place that we're so shallow that it's about the thickness of your skin. That's where we are in America. You see, I did some research on this. I told you I filled it with useless information. You know, they say that your skin is half a millimeter thick on your eyelids. And you say, preacher, how much is a millimeter? If you was to take it and actually apply it, a millimeter is about the thickness of a dime. That's a good illustration there. So half of a thickness, that makes you want to blink your eyes, doesn't it? Half of a thickness of a dime is the thickness of your eyelids. To the most, now they say that the thickest part of your body, I don't believe it, but they say that the thickest part of your body is your heel. The skin that's on your heels. And that is 4 millimeters, which would be 4 dimes stacked together. Now, I think that most people, the thickest part of their body is around their head. Amen? Maybe even some of them around their heart. I don't know. But we think about this. And we're all the same. There's not a single one in America or in the world. Now, I know this is going to be a shock to you. That got to pick what race you was going to be born. Not a single one of you can do anything about it once you're born. But yet we're taught that you're different than me, and I'm going to tell you how different you are. Now, I don't know about y'all, but may I be honest with you? If you're here in America, there's not a single one of you that's white. You're not. I'm other. Say, preacher, how in the world? You're Caucasian. I've never been to Caucasia. Not once. Some of you are going to get that later. But I'm other. Because I know that there's Indian in my blood. I know that there's white English in my blood. I know that there's a whole lot of other stuff. You know why we're a melting pot? There's not a single one of us that was here when it all started. And now we're taught to hate each other. There's groups out there that I'm not white enough for them. But you could even go on the other extreme. Because there's those that, as much as they may be black or they may be Hispanic, may I tell you that they're not just. And when it all comes down to it, we're all Americans. We're all Americans. And yet, the destructive change that's going on is said that you need to hate someone who's not like you because of the thickness of their skin. How crazy. How crazy. I find as well there's a misrepresentation of marriage that's destroying in the changes that's going on. It's redefining the family, saying that it's okay. Jeremiah even knows that you're not to have two moms or two dads. You're to have a mom and a dad. That's how it goes. You say, preacher, why would you warp the child's mind at 4 years old? Because I'm telling him the truth. There, it takes a mom and a dad to make a baby. And I know that they're wanting to say that it's love no matter what. May I tell you, it's called perversion when it's not the way that God designed it. And so it's destroying our nation. I find as well in that misrepresentation of marriage that it sickened me when I found that the quarantine of COVID shook families. And they said, oh my, what are we going to do? We've got children. You know the sad part is, you know why a lot of people are sending their children back to school? Because they're tired of them. You know what? Before we ever had a child, you know what we signed up for? To have children. I want to have children. I want to be a dad. I had Jeremiah out there, and we're definitely at that stage that we're learning some things. And boy, Jeremiah was. We went out and we was getting the mail this morning, and getting things around and getting things going, and I enjoy him. I enjoy him as much as I enjoyed John and Jacob when they were that age, and then they grew up on me. Amen. But not that I don't enjoy him now. It's just different. Jacob, if you and I, would you hold my hand and skip to the mailbox? See, it's different. I mean, Jacob's looking at me like I'm being mean to him. I'm just saying, he wouldn't do that with me. But I still enjoy him. You know why? I'm still their dad. There's never been a time where I said, I want to quit. They're my kids and I got to get rid of them. And I'm going to put it on someone else's responsibility to raise them. Let me give them a device. Let me spend all my time on my device so I don't even know what they're doing. Those are destructive changes that's taking place in our nation. That's not all of them. That's just a few. I've got to preach the sermon. I can't just give you an introduction. But I find that the single most devastating change that we have is that we're turning from the only God that there is. Hold your place now, and I don't know if you can memorize Psalm 33:12 and keep it in your mind, but keep your finger right there and turn over to the book of 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, I want you to look at chapter number 4. You see, we're turning from His truths. What's happened today, now, once again, the lost are doing what the lost do, but you remember when there used to be a reverence for the things of God? How many have heard of church burnings? I mean, there's churches that have been burnt. When a gunman comes in, boy, one of the targets that they have is the church. Now, I know that we represent the Lord, but they're not going to stop the Lord. Notice, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, look at verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Did you notice that? Shall be turned away from the truth. You know what's happening today? There's many that are turned away from the truth and they're turned to fables. They're believing a fairy tale, if you would. If you'd allow me to say it that way. They're believing a fairy tale. Listen, Brother Russell, I had already started on this and the fact that you're going to be 13. But I remember after you got saved. And after Brother Russell got saved, you say, preacher, everything was great. He went home and they lived happily ever after. Absolutely not. He went home. And I don't know that it was the next week, but maybe the week after that. It seemed like, I'm telling you, there's been country music songs written to Brother Russell's life. His washing machine broke down. His this broke down. His that broke down. And everything broke down. But you know who was still in control? Who was still on the throne? The Lord. God was still with him. You see, this fairy tale is, well, if you'll just pray this prayer and if you'll just do this, then you can go ahead and live your life and you can do anything that you want to do and everything's going to be fine. What a lie. And yet, they don't want the truth today, and we've been turned into a fable. You know what we're turning from? It's not the truth of the preacher. It's the truths of God. And we become a self-reliant nation. Say, preacher, how's that? You know, I think about Sodom when I think about America. And the sin of Sodom, the iniquity of Sodom, was not the homosexuality. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse number 49, the Bible says, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness." Now, I want to explain this for a moment. You know where we are in America? We're full. We're full. I've told you before that there is no one in this country that's as poor as they think they are. I can take you to some countries and I can show you what poor really looks like. I can take you to some prisons and show you what poor really looks like. I can take you to some places, and it's not that they have someone that makes sure that they're taken care of. If their family's not there, no one's taking care of them. And their family don't have anything. I remember in English when I was in college, we were asked, and I'm giving English credit. It might have not been. It might have been a business class, but I'm giving English credit. We were asked to give our opinion of what we thought about sweatshops. You say, preacher, what is a sweatshop? It's not where you go when you're working in a really hot climate, all right? It's where they take in other countries and they're having children or they're getting very, very little pay and they're working them an extreme amount of hours and then, it's abusive. To us, we look at it as immoral. But to that child, it's a bowl of rice that they can eat that day. Listen to me. America don't have that. I'm sorry, and you can get mad at me if you want, but it's ridiculous when we live in a nation that you can have a $50,000 vehicle and still have food assistance and you can still have medical assistance. I'm sorry. You may say, preacher, what am I going to do? I still need a vehicle. Buy a hoopty. I've done it. We've lived it. You say, preacher, you got to have air conditioning. We're in the South. Praise the Lord, let the windows go down. And now you've got a 275. Drive on the interstate. Some of you are looking at me like, what is a 275? Both windows down, 75 miles an hour. Amen. Winds are coming in. You know what we have? An abundance. The Bible goes on there in Ezekiel chapter number 16, and he speaks about their pride and their fullness of bread and their abundance of idleness. Now that abundance of idleness, we're there. Facebook, Instagram, all of them show we have an abundance of idleness. Listen, I know you're going to say, preacher, don't you have Instagram? No, I don't. The farm does. Amen. And with that, yeah, we post some things, but I sure don't spend the time on it that others do. Jacob. No, Jacob doesn't. But you know how people make millions of money on TikTok? Because millions of idiots do this. Now, I know some of you are going to go, I can't believe you just called me an idiot. You're all right. It won't be the first time. It's not going to be the last. Amen. But it goes on and he says that was in her and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. You know what we're doing today? I know we've got government assistance out there, and we can strengthen the hands of the poor and the needy. No, what we're doing is crippling them. We're crippling them. We've told them that you don't need to do that. We'll take care of it for you. I've had some people ask me, because when I quit my job, we lost our insurance, which I didn't have it before that, for that year that I was getting ready to leave my job, for the fact that we're going to have insurance. Some kind of an insurance. It's You say, is it as good as what you had? Absolutely not. But Uncle Sam's not providing it for me. You say, preacher, you make enough. You don't make that much. You can definitely cover assistance. I'm not going to be dependent on the government. I'm not going to make you pay my bill. Because that's really what it is. Understand, there's nothing free. And you're not strengthening them. You're enabling them to become weaker. You know what's happened in America? Don't feed the bears. They're going to become reliant on it. But if you don't want to work, and I know that this caused a lot of chaos in Bloomingdale. I don't care. They can't fire me from being pastor. But it is wrong when you can use a food stamp for a loaf of bread and you can buy $300 tennis shoes. Amen. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's not a poor problem. That's a priority problem. And that's where we are today as a nation. You see, what we've done is we've turned our priorities from the things of God and the direction that God gives us to a self-reliant nation, and it's all about self. Amen. And so I look here and I find that I must be a minority because I want God to bless our country. I do. I want God to bless America. I know there's plenty that say it, and boy, they'll put it on the marquee of the liquor store when something goes bad enough. God bless America. But what a mockery. And let me give you an example of what this would mean. For God to bless us, and the advantage of having God as our Lord, we'd be blessed. First of all, I want you to understand that we're blessed to be chosen. We're blessed to be chosen. Now, I'm going to look at the last part of this verse first, and if you're not there, that's fine. It's Psalm 33 and verse number 12. He says, "And the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." Now, some are going to say, well, preacher, you mean only some can be chosen? Let me explain to you about salvation, and that's what this verse is speaking about at the end. Of course, if we put it in the interpretation, he's speaking about Israel. Israel's a chosen nation, but may I tell you that every one of us is chosen to be saved. We're all chosen to be saved. God has chosen all of us to save. And I think about 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 9, that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, that He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God's desire is for you to get saved. That's a blessing. Amen. That's a blessing. In Matthew chapter number 22 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage." He says, look, this is what I want you to do. And if we were to go back into Matthew 22 and look at all of that context, we'd find that he went out and he had spoke to some, and they gave every excuse in the world why they wasn't going to come. And he said, fine, they're not worthy to come. So you go out into the highways and the hedges, and you're going to compel them to come. You're going to let them know that the marriage supper is getting ready to take place, that there's a marriage, and I'm going to give them a garment, and everything's going to be great, and they're going to come to my house, and boy, I'm thankful that they'll come. Did you not see that? As many as you find, bid them to come. Bid them come. Let them come. You know what the sad part is that we can give an invitation, but you have to make the choice to come. You see, you've already been chosen and the invitation's out there, but now you've got another choice. You have a choice. You've got to choose to answer. And so in Matthew chapter number 22 and verse number 14, he goes on and he says, many, let me find my place here, for many are called, but few are chosen. Now I know you're going to go, preacher, I thought you said chosen. No, hold on, that last chosen is you. Many are called. Every one of you is called to come, but there's very few that are chosen. There's very few that choose to come to Him for salvation. There's many that want to say that they're religious. There's many that will title, I'm a born-again believer, and then live like Satan all the rest of their life. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. And so I find as well, not just is it a blessing, there's an advantage to having God as our Lord. It's a blessing to be chosen, that He's called us to Him for salvation. But then I find as well that He extends this blessing greater. And He says, blessed is the nation. And so there's a blessing here that comes to the nation that chooses God to be their Lord. Now, I looked up that word blessed. May I tell you what it means? It means happy, prosperous in worldly affairs, enjoying spiritual happiness and the favor of God, enjoying heavenly felicity, pronounced happy. That's good, isn't it? I mean, honestly, I know I've told you before that you can take my happiness because happiness is depending upon happenings, but you can't take my joy. But that word blessed, it goes further. He's saying, look, not only are you going to have joy, but you're going to be happy. You're going to be happy in it. You know what I watched today? Is more and more people are enduring their salvation instead of enjoying it. Is that because God's hand of blessing is off of our nation? And now we're feeling the pressures of sin and the effects of it? Notice, if you would, and I got to get to preaching here. You got to listen a little faster. And I'll try not to preach too long on these points, but just bear with me. I simply titled this, If We Were One Nation Under God. Are we? I don't think so. I think we're one nation under many gods. Notice this. If we were one nation under God, we would be free. We would be free. Some of you are going to say, Preacher, I mean, we're free. You see, it's God's truth that make us free. It's God's truth. John chapter number 8 and verse number 32, the Bible says, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. One of the most misquoted verses in the Bible. We should know it, and the truth will make us free. May I tell you, it won't do nothing if you don't apply it. You can know it, but if you don't apply it, sorry. Hey, listen, we're not a snake handle in church. Brother Kerry, if we were a snake handle in church, you'd be in trouble. Amen. If you're right there, it'd be the first one to get you, all right? But it'd do no good for me to tell Brother Kerry that there's a rattlesnake under his pew. It does no good for him to know that if he doesn't lift up his feet. Amen. You think about it. I know you're saying, Preacher, are you preaching down to us? No, I'm trying. I've got this deer in the headlight look. I want to make sure you're getting it with me. You understand that the truth that God gives us as a nation, if we don't apply them, they do absolutely no good. And yet, how many times do people say that they don't even believe the Bible? Or they don't even know what Bible to believe? That's where we are today. John chapter 17 and verse 17. He says, Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so I find that if we were one nation under God, we would be free. We'd be free from sin. Free from sin. You don't have to hold your place in Psalm. Turn over to the book of Romans. I got several places I want you to turn today. Bear with me. You don't have to put all these in when you preach it, but Romans chapter number 6. Romans 6. We would be free from sin. May I tell you that it's unconstitutional to say that sin is wrong? You say, Preacher, how do you know that? Well, because they keep saying that it's unconstitutional to tell them that something's wrong. Amen. I mean, honestly, we the people had voted that, hey, it's marriage is one man and one woman. And yet, the judicial branch had said that, nope, it's unconstitutional. And so now every state has to allow it. We've said that it's unconstitutional to legalize marijuana. Or no, wait, they said that. It's unconstitutional not to legalize it. Listen, it's coming. I don't care. There's been many people that have voted when it was we the people. There was many that voted and said, hold on, we don't want that. And the judges got together and the minority of them had said that, you know what? That's unconstitutional. And so I would find that if we were really one nation under God, that we would be free from sin. But instead, sin is what drives us as a nation. Notice this in Romans chapter number 6. I want you to look in verse number 11. Romans 6 and verse number 11, he says, Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. May I tell you that if we were one nation under God, we'd be free from sin because there wouldn't be so many people wanting it. Amen? We'd be dead to sin and live for the Lord. And so I find in verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in your lust thereof. Skip on down, look into verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Look on into verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you notice the very first part of verse 22? Now being made free from sin. Does it embarrass you as an American to see America the way that we've accepted sin? We haven't just accepted it. We've embraced it. We've embraced it. And not just as a country, but even as churches. I was asked if I would pray about preaching certain subjects in certain areas. Listen to me. The Bible, I can preach the whole counsel of God. Amen. Anything that's in that Bible, I can preach it because it's still God's Word and it still works today. And sin that wasn't accepted 50 years ago, why is it accepted today? I find that even in churches. Churches have said, well, you know, this was our stand back then. But now that those pastors have moved on, hold on. Why was it on the pastors? It should have been based upon the Word of God. It was the truth that God has in His Word that has freed us from the sins of this world. And so I find as well that we should be free from the snares of the devil. As much as we should be freed from sin, may I tell you that the child of God shouldn't worry about the snares of the devil. We're free from them. It doesn't have to get me. Amen. You say, preacher, how in the world do you get that? Take your Bibles. Look over at 2 Timothy chapter 2. I don't get it. God told me it. He said it. Listen to me. Satan, now I'm not trying to give that old rascal credit, but he's smarter than you and I. He's been around longer than you and I. He knows how to trick you and I. And he'll do it. But I'm thankful I'm free from it. While you're over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want to give you another verse. It's Proverbs 21:21. Says, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. You know what's happening today? We quit looking for the snares of the devil. We quit watching for them. We quit worrying about them. We quit following after righteousness so that we could have life, righteousness, and honor. Doesn't it mean something to have your name honored? I mean, God says it does. It's an honor to have His name lifted up. And you know what He gives us as His children? That honor of being His child. I think that there should be an honor to that. I'm His. It's not my name that I'm trying to protect. You think about this for a moment. If I went into the end market today and I decided that, boy, I'm hungry for a candy bar, but I just don't want that candy bar. I don't want to pay for it. You ever... Jacob, how much candy bars cost at the gas station now? A lot. Amen? I remember when you could get a couple of them for 50 cents. Those days are gone. And I don't want to pay that much for it. And I just went ahead and I slipped one in my pocket and I walked out the door. We were at Habitat for Humanity. And they had a little DVD, a kid's DVD. And we took it up, and I was like, ma'am, do you keep these up here? She goes, no. Someone had shoplifted a Thomas DVD from Habitat for Humanity. It was a buck. But could you imagine if the preacher did that? It wouldn't be Jeff Spencer, Liv Pembroke resident. No. It would be Pastor Northside Baptist Church. That would be the headlines of the news. Everything that we do that Satan's not trying to trip you up so that he can run your name through the mud. Satan's trying to trip you up so that he can run God's name through the mud. I remember growing up, I grew up in a small town. It was about the size of Pembroke. And it was amazing to me at how many things my mom would know. Now, I wasn't up to mischief. I was with two other boys. One was a teacher's kid. Both his mom and dad were teachers. And the other one was a veterinary. The veterinarian in town, it was his son. And the three of us were always together. We were always doing things together. And there was no curfew. We were not out into trouble. We didn't get into trouble. And yet my mom would say that we were at so-and-so, and I mean, we were at the store, and so-and-so. I was like, how in the world did you know that? She said, son, the night has 1,000 eyes. Do you understand that Satan is trying to disgrace, not you, but he's trying to discredit God and that he can keep you? And I'm thankful. As a child of God, I'm free from sin, but I'm even free from the snares of the devil. Notice, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want you to look at verse number 24. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want you to look at verse 24. And the servant of God must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Now this is one thing that, speaking about the preacher here, this is one thing that the preacher has trouble with, because don't think that I wouldn't like to just sometimes. Amen. But he goes on and he says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. That means that they're their own worst enemy. He says, if God peradventure will give them repentance to acknowledge, notice this, the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captivity by him at his will. May I tell you whose will that is? That's not Satan's will. That's speaking about the one that got taken's will. You see, what happened is found in verse number 25 at the very end. It's repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. What happened? He turned from the truth. He turned from what made him free. And he decided that he'd follow, and Satan got him in the snare. And so I'm thankful that I'm free from the snare. I find as well, if we were one nation under God, we would fear God. We would fear God. We wouldn't hold up a sign that says, may the God of your choosing bless you today. We would fear the only living God. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 6 and verse 31, Solomon is praying. He has built his house, he has built God's house, and he's praying to the Lord. And he's dedicating this, and he's praying about it, and he says that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. And so if you would, take your Bibles, let's look over at the book of Proverbs. Look at the book of Proverbs. I bring us here because I want us to understand a little bit about fear. I want us to understand what it's going to do in our life. I find that, first of all, being blessed with wisdom. I'm talking about the nation would be blessed if we would choose God to be our Lord, because He would bless us with wisdom. Amen. If you would remember early in Solomon's kingdom, as Solomon had prayed, God had met with him and asked him, what do you want me to give you? He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for the lives of his enemies. He didn't ask for longevity of life. He wanted wisdom. Lord, how do I come in and go out? How do I judge your people? How do I lead? And God said, because you didn't ask of those things, you didn't ask for long life, you didn't ask for riches, you didn't ask for the lives of your enemies, he said, I'm going to bless you with all of it. I'm going to give you wisdom, and I'm going to give you knowledge, and I'm going to bless you with the rest that you didn't ask for. Because that's my God. And so Solomon pens down the book of Proverbs. May I tell you what we would be if we were one nation under God? We'd be blessed with wisdom. Notice this. In Proverbs chapter number 9, I want you to look at verse number 10. Proverbs 9 and verse number 10. In Proverbs 9, it says, in verse number 10, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. May I tell you how dumb we are as a nation? And really, the word correctly is ignorant. We're without wisdom. He said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Go back over to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Look, if you would, at verse number 7. Proverbs 1 and verse 7, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Are we a foolish nation today? Very much so. Go on over in the same chapter and look at verse number 26. In verse number 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. I wonder if God's laughing about COVID. I mean, it's shut the nation down. It's definitely changed some things. I wonder if God's in heaven right now laughing because we've came to that place that we said we wouldn't fear God. Really, Romans chapter number 1, and I'm not going to take you over there, but Romans chapter number 1 said that when we knew to, we didn't worship Him. We didn't give Him honor. And so He said, all right, I'll give you over to your reprobate mind. I wonder if God's already given America over to the reprobate mind. May the God of your choosing bless you. How sad. How sad. And so I look on down and he says that, verse 27, he says, when your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, when they shall cry upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Notice this. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. How did Solomon ask for them to be blessed as a nation? He said that they may fear thee. Very first part, because that's the beginning of wisdom. That's where we need to start again. You know what America needs is a good healthy dose of fear of God. I'm not talking about just the wrath of God, but I'm talking about just the reverence. I'm sick and tired of hearing those that want to profess that they're His child, and yet they use Him, or they, like a get out of jail card. I've got this problem going on, and boy, look. Thank you, Lord. As they have the drugs, the alcohol, the profanity, the filth, the smut, you name it, they've got it, and they use Him like a get out of jail. They have no fear of God. And God said that I'm going to sit and laugh. As you've mocked me, I'm just going to laugh as my wrath comes to you. You're going to call out, you're going to seek me because you see the destruction coming, and I'm just going to sit back and laugh. Listen, folks, that's where we are as a nation. But I find that if we would fear God, we'd be blessed with wisdom, but we'd also be blessed with a new walk. We're right here in the book of Proverbs. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter number 8. In Proverbs chapter number 8, look at verse 13. You see, we would walk away from sin because we'd have wisdom. We'd walk away from sin. Now, Solomon is known as one of the wisest men ever. Actually, no, he's known as the wisest man ever. And yet, may I tell you, there was even times in Solomon's life that he was foolish. In Proverbs chapter number 8, verse number 13, it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy. And the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. And so I find that if we really had a fear of God, we would have a new walk. All these things that I told you that we could be free of, the free from sin, and that it's unconstitutional to say sin's wrong, that wouldn't be an issue. And don't get me wrong, I believe that the Ten Commandments are important. But are they important to someone who don't believe that there's a God that gave them? I know that they took them down from the courthouses. And it's amazing that the law givers and keepers and everyone don't even believe in the God that gave the laws. Don't you think that's really the first problem, is there's no fear of God? More than they had some little declaration, because that's all it was to them. It was a decoration. And so they just changed the decorations. And they said, all right, you know, this is offensive to someone. Let's just change the decorations. But no, the one that fears the Lord really does hate evil. And you think about Job. Why was it recorded about Job eschewing evil? That means that as soon as he seen it coming, he headed the other way. He didn't even try to fight it. You say, preacher, I'm tough. I'm going to fight it. You're a fool. Run. Run. And then I find that I can walk away from sin because I can walk in safety. Go over to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. You know, I'm not boasting that I know what I'm doing. But I would like to boast on my Lord for a moment and tell you how He keeps me where I need to be, because I have a fear of Him. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But I'm not talking about a fear necessarily that I just tremble at His voice, but instead a fear that means reverence and trust, that I want to come to Him and I want to turn to Him. You know, it's amazing at everything that we've done in decisions, that when we pray and we ask God's guidance for it, how sweet it turns out. But everything that we've ever done in our decisions that we didn't worry about what He was doing, they haven't always turned out that great. In fact, there's many times we're going, oh man, whoo, am I dumb? Why? Because we walk in safety when there's a fear of Him and we trust Him. Notice in Proverbs 14, we find in verse number 26. Proverbs 14, verse number 26, it says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." How sweet. Would it be as much of a dog-eat-dog world if we had a fear of God? You see, the reason that man is pinned against man is because we're afraid of what man might do to us. But if our confidence is in the Lord, and He's our fountain, and He's the place that we come, and He's our refuge, and He's our safety, would I really fear what man's going to do? Would I fear what tomorrow's going to be? Would I fear about the economy? Listen, I know those are real fears. And I feel for those that haven't had a job. And I feel for those that are going through this economic struggle. But may I tell you that God is bigger than all of it. If we had just come to Him and trust. That's what that word fear means. Is that we trust Him and have confidence in Him. That I put my confidence in Him. He is the only place I can put confidence. Are you trusting in what? You know why the stimulus checks are going? I know you're going to say, preacher, you're preaching your opinions. Listen to me. If this was 2019 or 2021, would we get stimulus checks like this? Just a thought. I'm just asking a question. Don't you think it's kind of important for both parties to go, hey, I want to see you get more money. I'm going to just take care of you. Why is it so important? Is that who you're putting your trust in? Putting your trust in the doctors that don't know what's really going on anyway? No, I'd rather just fear the Lord. I'm going to trust Him. I'm not going to be foolish. And I'm not going to, hey, listen, if they want to give me $1,200, I'm going to take it. You say, preacher, I wouldn't take that. There's going to be some catches. I've already showed you. God can take care of all the catches. He'll take it off the line and put it on the plate. Amen. Hey, I'll take it. But I don't have my confidence in them. Notice as well that if we were one nation under God, we would seek forgiveness. I want you to take your Bibles, turn over to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter number 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, if you would. I want to bring us back to this. Solomon's praying here in the dedication of the temple and the dedication of God, if you would, and what He's done for that nation and what He's going to do in the future. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, I want us to pick up in verse number 36. As Solomon's praying, he's praying for the people because he knows that they're going to fall. May I tell you what we've done in America? And I'm not just talking about the church. America as a whole has turned its back on God. The people of America really don't have a desire for the things of God. Just leave me alone. I'll put a tag on there that I'm a Christian. Boy, I'm thankful they told us because we'd never tell any other way. And so I find here that if we were one nation under God, we'd seek God's forgiveness for where we are. Notice this in 2 Chronicles chapter number 6 and verse 36. He says, if they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto the land far off or near. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from heaven, from the heavens, even from the dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, understand this. I've got some tonight. I know that the Weavers are there in Register, and Sister Joy's right over there down the road in Sims Road, and Miss Betty's over in Ellabelle, and Brother Scooter and Sister Woody are over here in Bacontown. It's not that they need to, all right, what direction's the church? And boy, let me pray that direction. That's not how this works. Well, I'm thankful that God doesn't just dwell here. Amen. I'm thankful that we can just pray to Him and He'll hear us and He'll forgive us. But there's some steps that we must have. First of all, is I find a recognition of our sin. Now, I look over here in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. He said there in verse number 36 that if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not. But look on down into verse number 37. They recognize, or more than that, they accept accountability. It's not just acknowledgement of sin. They accept accountability. We have sinned. We have done amiss. We have dealt wickedly. They're speaking about this recognition of sin. You know what happens today? I told you in the introduction, there's no accountability. None. We don't want, it's not really my fault. We've almost got this idea that we do the same thing that Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. You remember when they sinned? You remember that? And God comes down to meet with them, and He calls out to them, and Adam finally, okay, well, we were hiding. And God automatically, did you eat of the tree? And what was Adam's response? Well, that woman you gave me, that woman you made, and then I can just picture, now I know that the Bible, you say, preacher, you got a great imagination. Now just listen to me. I can see Adam as God's looking, because Adam was accountable. Adam was the one that was responsible. And he's given that account. And he goes on and he says, well, Lord, it's really not my fault. I know that I was supposed to, but it's her fault. And you made her for me. And she's the one, and so therefore it's really your fault. That's what he's saying. He said, you're the one that made her for me, and so I wouldn't have done this if it wasn't for her, and I wouldn't have had her if it wasn't for you. And then I can just